Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday.
Good morning. This morning, Chris will be leading us in worship and we'll be focusing on the next stages of our church's vision with both of the mats.
We pray that you'll be able to meet with God as we meet together virtually. Have a good morning.
Good morning and a special welcome to any school teachers, staff, students. It's the holidays! We really hope you have a great summer. Relax, unwind, you definitely deserve it. I was reminded a little bit this week about why it's so good to worship. I was reading Psalm 33 and just this opening line in verse 1 where it says, "It's fitting to praise God." It just struck me. It's so simple, isn't it? The psalm goes on to explain why it's fitting, but I love it. It's just a good place to start from. It is fitting to praise God. Sing joyfully, make some noise, play whatever it is you've learned to play. He is worthy of it. In a house group, we wrote our own psalms a couple of weeks back, and it was so good to hear what everyone shared. As I read Psalm 33, I thought about our worship teams at church. I know they're going to be really missing getting together and being able to worship and jam, just enjoy each other's company and praising God. I wonder what they'd say if they had to write their own version of this psalm. For each of us, wherever we are watching from this morning, are we ready to worship God? Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It's fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre or just the guitar, Scott. That would be great. Sing to him a new song. Play the keyboard skillfully, Chris, and shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, for rest. Thank you that you created us to be creative, to have all kinds of abilities and interests and skills. We thank you for the fulfillment that we find in all of these things, that we can enjoy them knowing that good things come from you. We thank you for rest, though, that you long for us to have space to stop being busy. You set an example of stopping and remind us again and again through your word. Lord, we thank you for all those teachers and staff who have been working so hard. We pray they will have good rest and time to know you close to them. While we don't quite know what's next as we move out of lockdown, we're reminded that you have already done great things for us, and we continue to trust you and to look forward with hope. We worship you together this morning. Amen.
There's a standing joke in our house. Whenever I leave to go somewhere, if the phone rings within 10 minutes, it will be me calling Liz to say, "How do I get there?" And I know exactly where I want to go and I know exactly where I am. But what I haven't quite worked out is that bit in between. And my amazing wife is always on the end of the phone to help me work it out. Vision is supposed to be a bit like that when it comes to God. If you're not sure about it, look at the story of Abraham. And when he sets out, look at the story of the disciples when Jesus called them. The theologian Kierkegaard said, "Life has to be lived forwards, but can only be understood backwards." And there's something in that, isn't there? We're not supposed to know all the answers. God gives us these pictures, these hopes, these senses of what could be, but then says, "You're going to need to ask me about the steps to get there. I've given you my word and my spirit. You have everything you need. Start moving, but keep on talking to me. It will be a together thing." And it makes a lot of sense when you look at words like these in Psalm 25. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." Actually, Psalm 25 is one of a group of 9 psalms written for community use. And so you could equally read it, "Show us your ways, teach us your paths, guide us in your truth, for you are our God and our hope is in you." Today, Matt Coombs, who co-leads the church with me, we want to together take a look at some of those hopes for the path ahead for us as a local church family. And if you're a guest looking in today, just want to be upfront with you and say that the focus is on the coming months for us locally at Welton. This morning, we're verbalizing some of that faith conversation. Lord, we know where we are. We know where you've called us to be. But Lord, can we talk about some of those next steps? As a leadership, going back 3 years, we have prayed and read scripture, and we agree together that our values underpinning the vision for the coming years would be summed up in three simple phrases. We want to be a disciple-making church, a church-planting church, and a world-reaching church, building on this rich history of God at work amongst us as a local church family. We don't believe in any way that we're better than any other church, and we're not in competition. But what we do believe is that there's a calling from God on us, which we want to lay hold of and trust God together for. We believe that when we do that, we will impact the world, from that mate at work or the next door neighbour, right the way through to that unreached people group on the other side of the planet. So with that in mind, we're going to look at these core values and the vision that God is shaping amongst us. I'm going to take the first of these, Matt's going to take the second, and I'll take the third, with some help from the missions team along the way. Before you panic when you're hearing the first one, this is the longest of them, okay? And it kind of makes sense, because when we're disciple making, the most natural thing is that this feeds into church planting and reaching the world. So first one, God has called us to be a disciple making church. The final words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, says this: "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" How do we do this in the situation that we're in? We're only just able to go out in our cars and do certain things, to meet in one another's homes, but with some restrictions. I've not been able to get on a plane for 4 months. That's the longest time I've been here in the UK, for 15 years. We're nowhere near being able to baptize anybody yet, and we've got a bunch of people that really want to get baptized. So how do we do it? There's lots of possible answers, but one I believe is really important for us, and I'm excited about it, and I want to share it with you now. It's simple, but I believe we need to become learners. As Dave, who teaches in our church, would say, we've got to have the posture of a learner. One of my heroes of the faith is a man called Angus Kinnear from my old church back in London, who, no matter how bad my preaching had been, he would always find something to encourage me with. He was a pioneer who worked for 10 years in India alongside Amy Carmichael. He wrote numerous books on the life of Watchman Nee. And when he died in 2002, when you went into his office, pinned on the shelf as you walked in was a learner plate to remind him, this incredible man of God, that he was still learning. What a beautiful picture. Actually, the dictionary definition of a disciple is worth mentioning here. It says, a person who is a pupil, adherent of the doctrines of another, a follower and a learner. And I was thinking about this. When I turn up completely new to a country, first time I've been there, where I don't know the culture or the nuance or the customs, my faith in Jesus doesn't change, but living it in a new context causes my faith to grow. Some of those rough edges get knocked off. My reliance on certain things is removed, and I have to rely more on Jesus. If you like, my experience currency is less useful than it was at home, and my faith is more useful. And I believe that's the world we're moving into now. And it's not that everything has changed. It hasn't, but a lot has. I was thinking this just driving into Bristol the other day. Even if the world looks the same, people have changed. We've lived through, and still are for many of us, living through a trauma, through loneliness. There's a desire also to be kinder, to be more authentic, to reassess those things and those people that we give value to. I've been reading again this week about the grief cycle and how the final step, kind of acceptance, comes with meaning. And there's the possibility of change in us. It's a complex mix, and what we mustn't do is oversimplify it. But what we can do is agree that the context has changed. Whilst our God remains the same, he's still loving, kind, just, compassionate. But because the context has changed, I believe we can expect to learn a whole load of things more. We need to be real and say this situation is not one that we would have chosen. And some have heard me say it before recently. I get really quite frustrated when you get church leaders say things like, "Oh, this is exactly what we wanted. Now we can start from scratch." Well, actually, two things on this. Firstly, you never start from scratch. You always start from where you are. Second is, I don't know about you, but I loved where we were in February as a church, where we were headed. I believe that God has been with us, shaping us, using us, adding to us those people that he loves, that he knows that we need, and they need to be part of who we are. I believe that where we were headed then absolutely connects with where he's leading us now. So we're not on hold. We're not waiting for kind of normal play to resume. We're moving and we're learning. We're expecting God to turn something that the enemy had planned for harm to good, because we know that those who love him, that's exactly what God does. So what are we learning about being a disciple-making church right now and in these next few months as we move forward together? What can we learn? There's loads, isn't there? I just want to share a couple of things that have come to my heart and mind as I've prayed about this question. First is this: church isn't about the building. It never was. We're learning that church is still the church when the place it meets in changes. In fact, it's possible that we grow and we learn more because we have to think. We've got to be creative. We've got to reassess what's most important to us. If we have to travel light, what we leave behind and what we take with us, it says something about who we are and what we're learning as we go. A couple of examples for our summer EnFest outreach. You know, not having a building where you gather a couple of hundred kids and their parents and lots of cake, actually, that's a big deal for us. It's what we've done for years. Now, it's not possible this year. I have loved watching our EnFest team say, that's not going to stop us. We're not going to be limited by the loss of this particular space, this place where we would gather. We're going to take boxes full of games and crafts and custard pies and t-shirts. We're going to take them to people's doorsteps. We're going to get the kids to every morning to tune in, then send in their photos, their crafts, to still be part of something, even though we're not doing it the way we've done it. We're learning as we go. I've loved seeing our house groups grow deeper in their fellowship, in trust, that we cry together, that we laugh together, we pray together, and I think we're challenging each other more. There's a picture that a friend sent me I really like. I've shared it with some of you, I think. But you've got this picture of the devil who's speaking to God, and he says, look, I've destroyed the church. And God's answer is, no, you haven't. I now have a church in every home. I believe there's something good around rebalancing that we've seen happening in these last 4 months. And we've said for a number of years that we're not a church that is all about the Sunday morning service. If we were, in all honesty, they'd be a lot more slick and a lot more polished. You know, we love these times when we're all together of worship and celebration, and it's multi-generational, people from all stages in life coming together to worship. I am so missing those times. I love them. But we're missing something if we think that's the whole picture. That's what church is. 2 years ago, we gathered all of our house group leaders together for breakfast over at the Three Ways Cafe near Bath. And I said to those guys, I said, without the smaller, without that closer, we're like somebody just with one shoe on. And I don't know if you've ever done it, but if you spend a whole day with one shoe on, you probably haven't done that, but you tend to find yourself going around in circles. I don't know about you, I love what God is doing, what we're learning in the small, and the more close, the more intimate. But I'm also really missing not being together as one larger church family. And I think we're learning some things here. I think for a while we're going to keep on learning that there's something about being united as a church family that is powerful. And maybe we're realizing things that we hadn't quite realized. We get to learn maybe what our persecuted brothers and sisters in other countries have learned a lot already over the years. The incredible privilege of gathering together to worship. I believe as we do this, we're going to learn something that you may think sounds a bit over the top, even ludicrously unrealistic. But before you think it, let me just say, Jesus said this is what we would learn as his disciples. It's this, that we would learn to be the light of the world. I don't always feel like it. I'm not sure that you do as well. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus looked to us, those that follow him, those that are learners, and said, yeah, you're the light of the world. Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And he goes on to say, therefore, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh my goodness. How does Jesus see us like this? But he does. It's been so good seeing how we have responded together as a church. Just to look out for one another. Hundreds of phone calls, sent out parcels, messages, people who are shielding, key workers, single parents, being connected with and being loved. But I'll tell you what's most encouraged me in the midst of all of that are the people looking in and saying, wow, why do your church do that? And some of those conversations that I've heard that we've been having, I think they're just full of life and full of opportunity and capture the heart of what Jesus was saying. See, it doesn't take much for us now as we look at the world to see actually people are more open than they were 6 months ago. And whilst we don't want to be opportunistic, do we? But we do want to be truthful. I've been thinking about this a lot in the last few weeks. I don't think it's opportunistic if people know that they've been shaken and the world has been shaken and we've been shaken, for us to say that we believe in a God who is unshaken. In fact, it's probably the definition of kindness for somebody that's been shaken to say, we know somebody that isn't shaken. One of my friends, a work colleague, many years ago, after I'd shared my faith with him in Jesus, and he'd actually prayed a prayer himself, inviting God to come into his life. About an hour later, after he prayed that prayer, with tears of joy still in his eyes, said to me, just one thing, Matt. I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but why have you taken so long to tell me something that's so important? It's a good question. It made me stop and think. I was learning then, and I'm still learning. You know, our nation right now, as with many other nations, has been shaken. And I passionately believe that we're going to learn, if we're willing, to find our voice. Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. I don't always feel like it, but if Jesus says it, then I'm going to believe it. There's loads more we could say about being learners, about being disciples. In reality, none of us know exactly what the next 6 months is going to look like. So there's a choice that we face, isn't there? We can either be carried along by it, or we can learn and grow. So here's the question at the end of this part, and it's as we kind of look forward to the second half of 2020 as a church. I want to ask you, and just stop and think about it for a moment, what does God want you to learn? Let's just pause before Matt picks up, just to allow the Holy Spirit some space in your heart and your mind. Ask him that question, Lord, I'm your disciple, I'm a learner, living in this world that is changing. What do you want me to learn?
When was the last time you tried learning a new skill? Maybe in lockdown you've had a go at cooking with a little bit of online help, or gardening seems to have become quite popular. I've been teaching my son Will how to drive recently. It's funny how you don't realise what you've learned when you've been doing something for years, isn't it? For those of you that drive, try and think back to your first driving lesson. There's quite a lot to take in, isn't there? You push this clutch thing down to change gears. Then with the car in gear, you lift it up, but not too quick, but not too slowly either. Then there's a brake. Oh, and there's another brake, which you have to sort of juggle the timer with, that clutch thing. And then there's the accelerator, which you mustn't press too hard or too gently. That's just to get the thing moving. Before you even think about steering, lights, indicators, mirrors, pedestrians, But somehow you get there, don't you? It's because, well, you really wanted to learn. It was a choice. You could have just got the bus, or even better, cycled or lift shared, but you chose to learn. Perhaps you can even remember who taught you to drive. Just think how much trust you put in them, maybe without even realizing it. In learning, you have to be able to trust the person teaching you. Matt and I have this real conviction that God wants us to be a church that plants new churches, and it's got nothing to do with looking for success or some sense of achievement or being proud about numbers. In fact, it's the opposite of that. Neither of us have visions of leading a huge church. We'd love new churches to be the natural next step of people growing as disciples of Jesus and more people deciding to follow Jesus. Don't you love reading the book of Acts? This small band of followers taught by Jesus and sent out to get on with it. The truth is, while we've got some ideas, we really are learners in this. Matt's got experience in other parts of the world, but it's a first here in sunny Somerset. But we really want to do this. Think back again to that first time in the car. What was it that kept you going when it seemed so difficult? Well, we're completely trusting God to teach us. We're hoping in the autumn we'll begin gathering in person for those that can in three different ways. Firstly, in our house groups, these will continue as they have been. Second, in what we're going to call Welton communities, groups of three or four house groups that meet on Sundays to worship for fellowship together in different locations. And then monthly Welton Together times, when we are all together as one church. Initially, it might be in a field or under a marquee. We just need to get creative and love being together. We know that God has called us to be one church. So the next phase of smaller communities isn't some secret plan to try and do church planting without telling anyone. When we say we want to learn, we mean it. I'm sure we'll discover some new things about ourselves, gifts we didn't realize we had, practical pointers for the future, and undoubtedly, just like driving, there'll be the occasional stall or bumped curb. It's just part of learning. But when we all come back together, we will have a load of experience under our belts. If we found there was a real conviction saying God wants us to stay and plant somewhere, then we're open, excited. But we will first come back together, just like the 72 followers that Jesus sent out did. You learn. Personally, I'm really excited about the idea. I completely love our church. It was so good to see so many faces at the members' vision evening and being reminded we're family who do life together. And I love the thought of us completely trusting God together. He's been so faithful to us. Why wouldn't we trust him for what's next? There is a caveat to all of these plans. The truth is, we don't even know if communities will ever happen. It could be that guidance changes enough that we're back together very soon. And if we are, praise God, that would be brilliant. If nothing else, we would take from our plans the fact that we were excited about them and we were ready. There is something at the heart of it which says we're ready to go as God leads, in his timing, completely trusting him. Success for us can't be about achievement, but just being obedient to God. So when we're all still feeling just a little bit unsure about what's next, let's make those verses that Matt read from Psalm 25 our honest prayer. Show us your ways, Lord. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Saviour, and our hope is in you all day long.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, world reaching. In this next phase, what would the enemy want for us? I think it would be to make our view of God smaller, his love smaller, his wisdom smaller, his power smaller, his grace smaller. Next best, it would be to make our view of ourselves and our place in the world smaller. I love the idea of in these next few months, second half of 2020, us doing some fighting back, some real spiritual warfare. How? Well, first of all, where we're tempted to withdraw, to say we're not going to do it, to look beyond ourselves, to invest in others, whether that's a person around the corner or when we get chance to connect with those in another part of the world. I think that's when our worldview grows, when we go in the opposite spirit and we realize that our God is not a small God and we're not a small people. Here's our mission team sharing some of their own perspectives on what they're learning.
Okay, so I'm learning that for many Kenyans, they're used to living on a daily wage. And during this crisis, all of that obviously is just not happening. So the situation for them, particularly those in the poorer communities, is really, really desperate. And it's just so brilliant to think that the money that we're sending over to Kenyawegi each month is making a real difference, and particularly the future for these young people as we support them through their education is just ensuring for them a much better future than perhaps they would have had if it had not been for the support they're getting. So that's what I've been learning.
What I've been learning is basically something that we probably all know, because if there is one Bible verse that you know, it probably starts with, for God so loved the world. And loving the world, that's if that's what God is actually doing, it's difficult to be a disciple of Jesus and a follower of God without loving this world. Now, that's very general. But more specifically, what I have learned is the value of a short phrase that Paul uses, and that's citizen of heaven. And that doesn't mean, you know, something that is hanging up somewhere up there, but it means that we, wherever we are, our church is connected to other churches. And I was talking to a friend of mine 3 or 4 days ago, who is originally from Mauritania, and his experience is very much to sort of see how this crisis, this worldwide crisis, has shown that the rich countries have their weaknesses. And to him, it's a sign that we need the gospel as much as they do. And it's important for us to have this balance. Oh yes, we might see that others need the gospel, and we so much need it as well. And I think that is something I've learned.
I am learning that the people of Nepal, who have been in strict lockdown, have really struggled. Many live hand to mouth and they have no government help. Walton supported and aided the hospital, which enabled them to keep paying their staff, the Nepali staff. I've also learned new ways of supporting and looking after my family and 4 grandchildren.
I've learnt that partners and friends in Egypt, they're not only struggling with persecution right now, but they're struggling with mental health issues. And they're beginning to realise something that we've said a few times in our local church, that it's okay not to be okay. And I'm realising that the next year for them, there's going to be a need for counselling, lots of love and care, lots of love and support.
I am learning and encouraged that a young woman in Uganda, whose husband had left her with 5 children, came to know Jesus because we were able to be with her, to contact her and to support her.
And I've learned and I'm encouraged by the fact that those we support in Uganda are still not neglecting their calling, even though they have been in lockdown and they are in lockdown. They're continuing to do on a daily basis what they feel they've been called to do, despite the restrictions of their everyday lives.
Okay, just to finish off, back to that question at the start. What does the Lord want us to learn in these coming months? And are you willing to join us, for all of us together, to say, you know what, we're up for it. We're going to be learners together. I want us to pray these verses from Psalm 25. Would you join me in praying these with all your heart? Lord, show us your ways. Lord, teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth. And teach us, for you're our God, our Saviour, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen. Thanks for watching. God bless.
Thanks, Matt. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy the holidays. God bless.